the Women's Football Podcast, shining a light on the women's game.
Hello and welcome to episode 28 of the Women's Football Podcast, the last Women's Football Podcast before we take a short break and relaunch with a brand new show in October. For this last show, it will be doing some things a little bit differently. There are no interviews on this episode, but rather than me talking on my own for 45 minutes, he helped me launch the show. He was on the first show and a number after that, and I'm glad to welcome back my old pal Hamish. So I'm going to hand the mic over to him and it's going to be like the good old times. You okay, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. I feel like I've got to do the intro all over again. Hello everyone and welcome to the Women's Football Podcast. I am Hamish. Alongside me is Kieran, and this is so emotional. The last ever Women's Football Podcast, but no less quality filled. So let's run through what we're going through on this show.
Well, we've got a fair bit, actually. There's obviously the Women's World Cup European sector qualifiers have now come to a conclusion, so we know the teams that are going to be at Canada 2015 next year. We also know who the playoff lineup is going to involve, so we'll have a little chat about that. We need to have a look at some of the leagues as well. Obviously, the summer leagues are coming very close to their conclusion. Rosengard, on the evening that we're recording, have just won the Damallsvenskan, so congratulations to them. The FAWSL is nearing a conclusion. There's been some controversy there as well. We've got a few other bits and pieces, and we're going to have a little look back at the Women's Football Podcast, because obviously it's been going for 18 months. Yes, we are going to be launching a new show, and yes, people will be thinking, why are you making such a big deal? But it is the end of an era for the podcast. And yes, we're going to have a little look back at our highlights, and we're going to do a little test on each other to see what we remember. So we better get going.
The Women's Football Podcast would like to thank our partners. Want more women's football? Subscribe to She Kicks magazine at shekicks.net. And the Women's Football Podcast is part of the Soccer Desk Network.
TheSoccerDesk.com.
Right, World Cup qualification. England have booked their place. Wales, sadly, haven't.
No, massively disappointing for them. Obviously, had a deciding game against Ukraine, had to go to the Ukraine. We knew it was going to be difficult for them. Lost the game 1-0, and I know they were bitterly disappointed. They came so close. It's been a great qualification for them, and that's been indicated in the latest women's FIFA rankings that came out last week. And Wales were the biggest climbers in the whole league. You know, they climbed five places, which is an indication of how well they've done, but bitterly disappointing for them. I genuinely think, and I don't want to make her feel bad, but I think Wales would have had a much better chance if Helen Ward was available. Obviously, congratulations to Helen. She had a little baby girl last week, Emily Ruby Ward. So congratulations to her and her husband, Matt. But yeah, I think if she'd been available, Wales struggled to score goals. And that's the reality of it. They were pretty good at the back, other than the game against England at home, which they admittedly crumbled. And Jess Fishlock said pretty much that in the last episode that I did with her. But yeah, disappointing for them, but congratulations to Ukraine. They did what they had to, and obviously they progressed to the playoffs.
It's obviously the last game for Jarmo Matikainen as well. And if you judge by the players' reaction on Twitter, he was a very popular man.
He's done a lot for Welsh football, mate. You know, they were, if we're honest, they were nowhere before he took the role on. And he's not just taken on the senior team. You know, Jarmo has had to take on youth teams as well. You know, he was responsible for the under-19s, and I think he was responsible for the under-17s as well, though don't quote me on that. But yeah, I think he's been a phenomenal individual for them. He's done a hell of a lot of work. You speak to the likes of Jess Fishlock and Tash Harding, and they acknowledge what he's done, and he'll be a big loss for them.
Absolutely, but let's have a look at the teams that will head out to Canada. And from Europe, it's as you would expect, isn't it? All the heavy hitters are there.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just rattle through them very quickly. All the group winners of the seven groups: England, Germany, Spain, Switzerland, who will be competing in their first World Cup. So congratulations to them. I think the lowest ranked side out of the seven that have qualified automatically, followed by France, Norway and Sweden, who obviously overcame Scotland in their deciding game.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Scotland, Ukraine are joined by Italy and the Netherlands in those playoffs. How are those games fallen in the semis?
Do do you know what? It's going to be very difficult. Very, very difficult for all of them. You know, they're all good sides in their own way. I see the Italy-Ukraine game being a little bit more straightforward. I think Italy will have too much for Ukraine. They've qualified. They're actually only the only team to have qualified for a major tournament out of those four sides that are remaining. Sorry, a World Cup. Obviously, Holland have been to a European Championship. Scotland and Ukraine are still waiting to compete in their first major tournament. But Holland against Scotland, I think Jess Fishlock said it in the show that I did with her. Kim Little's going to be massively key in that game. Holland have got some good players. I like Mara Mellis that plays up front for them. She obviously represents Gothenburg in the Damelsvenskan. We know about players like Anouk Hoogendijk who've played in England as well. So it's going to be tough. But Scotland, I don't think they've got a better chance than this time round. You look at players that are really on form. Jane Ross had a phenomenal qualification. Lisa Evans is a great player. Emma Mitchell, we've already mentioned the likes of Kim, Rachel Causey at the back. I think now's their time. I really think now's their time. And it's going to be hard because if they overcome Holland, then the likelihood is that they're going to have to play Italy in the final as long as they overcome the Ukraine. They've got brilliant players like Gabby Adini, who plays up front. I really rate her. I looked at the Italy squad and there's quite a few players over the age of 30. Now, obviously, in terms of trying to keep up with maybe younger players that Scotland have got might be a little bit more difficult, but that just oozes of experience to me. And I think it's going to be incredibly difficult for whoever comes up against them. But as I say, I think Scotland have got a massive chance.
See, for me, hopefully, Ukraine make the final, Scotland make the final, and Scotland, you're still one of us, so you can owe them back for their defeat of Wales. So that is the World Cup qualifying semi-finals spoken about. Let's switch our attention to the domestic league here in England. And Kieran, there's a little bit of a controversial goal for Liverpool's Pharrell Williams.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. I think I read somewhere on, I think it was on Twitter today, that said that it's been viewed 300,000 times on YouTube since it was uploaded. So that tells you everything. People have obviously heard about it. For those who didn't see it, essentially Liverpool ladies played Birmingham ladies at the weekend before that we're recording this. This show will come out a week later. But essentially Birmingham equalised very late on after Liverpool had taken the lead. As Birmingham was still celebrating and getting themselves ready for kickoff, Liverpool kicked off. Pharrell Williams has picked the ball up on the halfway line and lobbed it back over Becky Spencer's head, who wasn't back in her goal in time. The referee didn't blow the whistle. He allowed the goal. And unsurprisingly to some, but I guess surprisingly to those that watch the game often, he actually came out at the end and admitted that he made a mistake. So
Does nothing for the result, though, does it?
It does nothing for the result and it does nothing for Birmingham. I mean, we know that league is incredibly tight. We know that there are three teams who are gunning for it. And we know that if Birmingham had got a result out of that and if they'd gone on to win it, perhaps, then it was in their hands. It's now in the hands of Chelsea. They are a couple of points behind Chelsea. And if Chelsea win all their remaining games, they will be the champions. So massively disappointing for Birmingham. Huge benefit to Liverpool because it keeps them in the fight. And it's going to be crazy. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting as we go into the last few games of the season.
Two questions in one. Who do you see winning it? And who, for you, should win it from the point of view of developing the league?
I think Chelsea will win it. I think they will bounce back from the defeat that they had against Notts County last week. Obviously, that was a bit of a shock result because Notts County have struggled this season in terms of winning matches and scoring goals. They've been solid at the back all year defensively. They've been as good as anyone, but they've really suffered because of the injuries. Obviously, they've been missing Ellen White. Fiona O'Sullivan has been in and out of the team since she came in, and they've struggled. There's no getting away from that, but they managed to grind out a result against Chelsea, and Chelsea won't like that. You know, there's a team full of winners, the likes of Katie Chapman and Gilly Flaherty and Yuki Agimi and Ji So-yoon. They will not have enjoyed that game and they will certainly not have enjoyed that result.
Players who are used to winning as well.
Exactly. It's in their hands. It's in their hands now. After Birmingham lost, Liverpool are relying on Chelsea to drop points. It's in their hands. So I think Chelsea will win it in terms of who deserves to win it or who should win it for the development of the league. It's difficult, but you've got to say Birmingham, haven't you? I mean, everyone wrote them off. No one expected them to be up there. They've been fantastic throughout the whole year. They've been consistent. I don't like to say who I want to win it because it would be wrong of me to do so. But, in terms of who probably justifies it because of how they've played and how they've defied the odds, I'd have to look at Birmingham.
Absolutely. Of course, not spent vast sums of money and also have produced some really good young players as well. So pleasing to see them at the top of the league. Many expected them to be struggling at the bottom of the league, and that's where we find Everton Ladies, sadly, which is very painful for me, Kieran, I'll be honest. So you're going to have to do all the talking here. But they were haunted by a couple of ex-players against Manchester City.
Yeah, obviously, we saw the result last week, didn't we? The 3-0 home defeat by City, and Tony Duggan and Jill Scott both on the score sheet. Difficult for them, mate. I think it's really, really difficult for them now. I think after Notts County's win against Chelsea, it pains me to say it because, as I've said it before, I get on incredibly well with Andy Spence. I think he's one of the nicest guys that I've had the pleasure of dealing with in women's football, but it looks bleak for them. It really, really looks bleak. They will have played a massive game against Notts County by the time this show comes out, and dare I say it, they might already be relegated by the time this show's actually made public. Feel for them. Very young side, very inexperienced. They've really tried to carry on the philosophy of blending in their young players. They didn't bring an awful lot in, and in the end, it's probably worked against them a little bit, because as much as those young players are talented and they will go on to achieve great things, I've got no doubt, you have to bring in experienced heads as well, and Everton have probably been a bit short.
Arsenal as well. Kelly Smith still got it, didn't she?
World class. Said it before, over and over again. Still the best player in this country.
To be fair, she plays like a team sometimes.
She does. I mean, you look at, they were 2-0 down against Bristol Academy. Pedro Martinez-Losa, the new Arsenal coach, who we'll discuss in a minute, brings her on at half-time, and she bags a hat-trick in a 4-3 win. I mean, she's just, on her day, even at 35, 36 years old, she's unplayable. You can't get near her because, as many have said, and this is in no way trying to be offensive, she plays like a man. And, you know, it is difficult when she's got the mind of a male player. It's not just in terms of physicality, but it's in her brain, it's in her mind.
Absolutely.
She sees things that other players don't see. And she's just a world-class talent. And if she wanted to, and if her body allowed it, she could play for another 3 or 4 years. But I think she'll struggle to do that. But yeah, just a class act and just a joy to watch still.
And not too bad as a coach. But of course, the new coach of Arsenal is Pedro Martinez-Losa. What can you tell us about him?
I must confess, I don't know an awful lot about him as a person. He's obviously managed Rayo Vallecano in the Spanish League and has managed them in the UEFA Women's Champions League as well. So he's got experience of managing in Europe and in Europe's top competition, which will obviously be beneficial for Arsenal if they can qualify. Probably not this year, but maybe next year. I think they're going to fall a little bit short this year. And obviously he's worked at the Western New York Flash, which is where he's come from as an assistant coach. And we know the quality that side has got. You know, we follow and cover the NWSL. They've got the likes of Abby Wambeck, Carly Lloyd, the Spanish girls, Adriana Martin and Vicky Lasada and Sonia Bermudez. And, you know, there's a good variation of player there. And I'm sure that he will bring a lot of experience. I'm sure that he will want to play football properly. When I spoke to Casey Stoney in the interview that I did with her a couple of weeks ago, she was saying that he clearly wants to play the ball and he wants to play out of the back. And, you know, maybe Arsenal Ladies could become the Barcelona tiki-taka football of women's soccer.
Wicked. Let's switch our attention to Sweden. Damallsvenskan, that's how you pronounce it, is drawing to a close, and we know who the champions are, don't we?
Yep. Evening, as we mentioned in the intro, the evening that we're recording, Rosengard have just come from 2-1 down away at, I think Anita Asante pronounced it as Göteborg. Now, I would pronounce it as Gothenburg, but I think she pronounced it as Göteborg or something like that anyway when we had her on the show a little while back.
Where's the Y at the end?
I have no idea. No idea. I'm probably saying it wrong, but I'm pretty certain that's how
I think she was winding you up.
Probably. You're the one that interviewed her, so she would have been winding you up, if anyone.
Yeah, maybe.
but yeah, so they won 3-2 at Gothenburg, and as a result, they've secured the title. So second year in a row, they've won the league, and I have to be honest, I think we kind of predicted it at the beginning of the season. You look at the players that they've got, they're such a strong side. I looked at the team that played today, and you know, you had Ali Riley, Anita Asante, Anya Mittag, Marta.
Yeah, Marta came halfway through the season, didn't she?
She did,
Not a bad boost halfway through.
No, absolutely. I mean, you add that to what they already had, you know, Romana Backerman as well, the Swiss international, who's been phenomenal. they're just too strong for everyone else, and it does not surprise me that they have won the league with a couple of games to go. They're 15 or 16 points clear as we record, and you know they can't be caught. So congratulations to them. There's a nice little battle going on behind them between Gothenburg, Örebro and Linköping, who will all be competing for the second Champions League place. So we will have to see how that develops over the coming weeks.
Did you see what squad number Marta has?
I must confess I didn't.
Do you know what? I've worked out why she was wearing 100.
Go on.
It's what she earns in a second. Right, after this, we are going to have a little look back at the life and times of the Women's Football Podcast. So we will be right back after this.
The Women's Football Podcast. Follow the podcast on Twitter at WFPod.
Right, Kieran, I believe you asked your Twitter followers to give you their highlights of the year.
I was just interested to know, obviously, in the time that we've been recording, what their particular highlights were of 2014. I know we're only in September, as someone pointed out to me, and thank you very much to that person.
Smart Alec.
Yeah, exactly. Smart ass. No, it was just really more as much as anything. People have been really supportive of the show. I wanted to give them an opportunity. Sometimes we get things in where we haven't had a chance to read it out. Jess Fishlock's Q&A was a prime example where we got loads of questions in. I didn't have time to read them all. So I asked people, what has been your highlight of 2014 so far? And I put the word so far. So Smart Alec, who gave me the response that they wanted, it wasn't the end of 2014 yet. I did say so far. So let's read through some of people's highlights of 2014 and then I'll go through a couple of mine. So Michelle Watson said, had to be Sunday when Farrah Williams brought me jubilation after seeing us looking like we'd dropped points. Went through so many emotions when she scored that goal. Kirsten said, mine was Kim Little's goal against Western New York Flash in the 92nd minute from Laura's reaction to the whole team celebration. Olympic Feminine, which is Linda, actually. So thanks, Linda. She said, Claire Lavalgez's goal, but also the UEFA Women's Champions League final, which was incredible this year. For those who don't know who Claire Lavalgez is, she is the French under-20 international who scored an absolute cracker in the under-20 World Cup in Canada.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Belter.
Yeah, quality build up and quality finish into the top corner, and obviously UEFA Women's Champions League final. I mean, unbelievable game between Wolfsburg and Tirso, and Wolfsburg looked dead and buried. Tirso, with the players that they had, you thought they would see it out, but Wolfsburg never say die attitude, and the quality that they've got came back and obviously claimed the title. Matt Tirso said,
Tirso. Come on, mate. Matt Tirso, please continue.
Matt Tirso.
Better.
Just got really into soccer, football this year with World Cup. Fell in love with Seattle Reign team. Kim Little is amazing.
Where have you been, Matt? Only just fell in love with football. Wow. Yeah.
I know. I think he probably means women's football. Blog Olympic Marseille Feminine said, UEFA Women's Champions League final and Wolfsburg Frankfurt as the Bundesliga's final, with Pop's goal at the very last second for the title, under 17 Japan in World Cup. I'm not really
sure. Struggling here, aren't you?
I am. I've not had much sleep, mate. I'm not going to lie. I was out very late last night on a school night as well.
That's the party lifestyle of the Women's Football Podcast.
I know. We won't talk about Ibiza. the Wolfsburg-Frankfurt game, which obviously fell on the last day of the season to decide the title, was a huge, huge game. And obviously Wolfsburg came out on top. A game that I watched and I couldn't agree more with the guy that sent this in. Incredible game. Under-17 Japan in World Cup. I'm not really sure what that is in relation to, because I must confess I've not seen a lot of under-17s football. Friend of the show, Brian Maguire, beating Frankfurt was up there. He's obviously been a Potsdam fan. But watching Paulina Bremer help Germany win the Under-20 Women's World Cup is my highlight. Fair play to you, Brian. Thomas said, both Wolfsburg comeback matches, UEFA Women's Champions League final and minutes 82 to 94 of the final game of the German Bundesliga. Incredible team effort. We've just discussed that. So thank you very much, Tom. Chrissy PDX says, watching Vera Baquete play with the Thorns gave my friends and I incredible joy, and I'd love to see Spain go far in the Women's World Cup.
Yeah, she's done all right, to be fair.
Vera Baquete was absolute class for Portland when I saw her. She was immense, and she really did make a difference to that side.
She got in the Team of the Year.
She did.
She did, yeah.
She did get in the Team of the Year, yeah, and considering she came in very late in the season, that showed how much of an impact she made, and obviously she will now be playing for Frankfurt alongside Jess Fishlock, so that'll be interesting to see how that one works out, seeing as they play for rival clubs in the NWSL.
Get a little boot at the end there, Jess. Yeah. A little boot at the end.
Ashley Glover said Holiday and Rodriguez dismantling the Seattle defence twice and FC Casey's defence holding strong in the NWSL championship game.
Big shock that, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know about shock, but a little shock. Yeah,
a
little shock. I mean, obviously Seattle was so formidable at home, but FC Casey, unbelievable in that game. Amy Rodriguez, for me, didn't get MVP. Obviously, Kim Little deservedly got it. She was top scorer. It was her first season in America. But Amy Rodriguez coming off of some time out, having had a baby, phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal, and should be playing more games for the US Women's National Team than she is. You know, top scorer in terms of American players last season, and still behind the likes of LaRue and Press and Wombeck and Alex Morgan. I mean, they're spoiled, aren't they? So
actually, that's my highlight of the year. You getting hammered by FC Kansas City fans for only saying the word Kansas.
Yes. Well, I apologise.
You should.
Put in my place. A couple more. So Melissa Kenny said the Breakers season, bad, but late 2-0 win v Portland was the best. M Woods, 24 shines, and Alyssa Nair.
Whoa. Transmogrifies.
Transmogrifies into a brick wall. That is a word that I've not... I'm a journalist, no. And I've not seen transmogrifies.
But I'm going to use it.
Right, transmogrifies. Thanks for that one, Melissa. And finally, W Football FC said, a highlight for the neutral was when Reading beat Arsenal Ladies 2-0 in the Continental Cup group stage. Huge upset and a great game.
And a fine goal from Frank Kirby.
Frank Kirby, absolutely. We like to use the term roasting, don't we? Mm. Roasting Kinga, the Japanese defender, absolutely, you know, ran past her like she wasn't there and slotted the ball past, I think it was Emma Byrne in goal or Siobhan Chamberlain, I can't actually remember.
Emma Byrne, I think.
I think it was Emma Byrne. But yeah, Fran has come on leaps and bounds this year. Everyone knows who she is, and she's already got England caps. So
yeah, keeping Nikita Paris out of it. I'm not going to hold that against her, though.
No, Nikita will be in there soon enough, I'm sure.
Got called up for training the other day.
Oh, there you go.
So there you go.
My highlight of 2014 so far, really difficult. Obviously, I loved being out in Seattle earlier this year and watching a couple of games out there. I think England, you can't look past the fact that England have won 10 out of 10. They scored 50-odd goals and conceded one in their World Cup qualification group. Mark Sampson clearly making a big impact there. I think England players doing well abroad as well. I mean, we've just mentioned that Rosengard have won the Damallsvenskan. And obviously Anita Asante plays for them. And I'll rephrase that, British players abroad. Kim Little and Jess Fishlock again tearing up the NWSL and getting into the team of the year. Jodie Taylor doing well for Sydney and for Washington Spirit. There's some really good British players who are playing outside of the WSL and the Women's Premier League. And it's nice to see them doing well and representing. So for me, those have got to be the highlights of the year.
So you mentioned in the intro, Kieran, that this is show number 28, and obviously I've been with you for probably about half of them. I think the best place to start would be at the beginning. Now, do you remember trying to record the first show and we were just couldn't get our words out, could we? Just couldn't.
I think we've both admitted neither of us come from a broadcasting background. We're both journalists, we're both PR professionals, but to try and put something like this together when you've got a microphone in your face is just not natural. And I think it took us about half an hour, 45 minutes to record the intro. Couldn't stop laughing, couldn't keep a straight face. I thought it was hilarious when you were talking. You thought it was hilarious when I was talking. But we got through it. I think the first episode, which was about 35 or 40 minutes, took us about 3.5 hours to record. So yeah, could never forget that one, mate.
Yeah. In the time since then, who would you say is your favourite interviewee? I think I can guess, actually.
Well, do you know what?
Considering you went all the way to France just to see her.
Do you know what? I genuinely couldn't pick one. And I think I spoke to Casey Stoney about this off recording when I met with her last week. And we've interviewed about 85 players and staff in 18 months. And I don't think there are many other outlets can say they've done that. There are some brilliant, brilliant people covering the women's game, and I think they all do a fantastic job. We obviously have a great relationship with the likes of She Kicks magazine and the women's game down in Australia, and the Our Game magazine in the States is fantastic, and there's some brilliant freelance journalists. Obviously, our friend Sarah Gerkey is doing a great job in the States, and there are fantastic people, Jackie Oatley in England. There are too many to mention, but I think 85 or 90 people we've interviewed. in the last 18 months. And it wouldn't be right for me to pick a best one or a favourite one. You know I have a good relationship with Megan Rapinoe. But then Jess Fishlock has been on a number of times. Helen Ward has been a great support. Ish Ferguson has... Without her, we would be the first to admit, you know, she put us in touch with a lot of people from the beginning, and that really helped us along the way. But then there's others that have been really great, you know. I mean, I know that you enjoyed doing the more obscure ones. I mean, everyone knows her
definitely,
now.
Yeah, definitely.
But at the time, Bev Goebel?
Yeah, she was great. She was great. I just remember she was, I think she was just before a bit of a kind of team party type thing, not a party but a team event, and all I could hear in the background was these very excited Japanese girls, which I don't know what kind of party that was, but it was, you know, it was great just to be so surprised by someone that I never really had a kind of an expectation of what she was going to be like. But when she came across, she was so charming and so informative and so open. And considering she's, you know, how she went to in that Kobe, she had a fantastic story. And as you say, yeah, the ones that were a little bit more obscure and sort of unknown were definitely the ones I preferred. But we've also got to say as well,
I will butt in very quickly there, mate. I have to say, I heard an interview with Bev on another women's soccer show, and they asked her who she would like to, I think they asked her who she'd like to sit down to dinner with. Anyone in women's soccer, and she said Brandi Chastain. Now, I'd be the first to admit I was incredibly fortunate to do that myself earlier this year, and to interview someone like that, who is a legend of the game, who is known for that moment in 99, it definitely sits up there for me as one of the best that we've done, and certainly one that I enjoyed. And to meet people like that who are so modest and love the game so much, you can just see why the people that do follow the game love it. Because you have such modest and enthusiastic people who are so passionate about the game. So, yeah, sorry to butt in, but I thought I'd get that one.
No, it's all right. All I was going to say, though, is we've also got to say a massive thank you to everyone who's listened, because, you know, we were a little bit apprehensive going, you know, diving into the deep waters of women's football, but actually we've been received so well, haven't we?
Oh, without a doubt, mate. Without a doubt. I think we worked incredibly hard, though, didn't we? And that's not blowing our own trumpet. We didn't want to go into this and come across as unprofessional. Yes, we like to banter about a bit. Yes, we like to make jokes about, you know, Avengers assembling because there's the team Thor in Iceland. And, yeah, you know, it's trying to put a little bit of a lighthearted spin on it now and again. But essentially, we wanted to be taken seriously. And you have to really hit the ground running early on, otherwise people are going to switch off and not take an interest. So it's a fascinating subject for me, though, and it's there's so many people that we've met along the way, and I said it to, I said it to Casey Stoney, and I've said it to Jess Fishlock, you know, we've met a lot of people along the way, and I can't genuinely say I've been disappointed by anyone. I think everyone's been great, you know, everyone's been open and honest, and that's what you get in the women's game. You don't get highly media trained individuals who have rehearsed answers in their head. What you get is honesty and insight.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I think the best way to go back over the months that we've been doing this podcast is by a quiz, obviously. Are you ready?
So do you want to explain what you get by a quiz?
Well, I'm going to quiz you, and you're going to quiz me on aspects of the show over the course of the last 28 shows. Now, because I disappeared halfway through, I get multiple choice, because I'm not very bright and I don't listen anymore. And because you're the expert, that stipulation disappears. So, a slight handicap on yours, but you, at the end of the day, you've been on every single one, so you should know.
Okay, all right. So, how do you want
to start? You better quiz me first, because this could be embarrassing.
All right, okay.
Ready?
The mic, then. All right, so I'm going to take the mic. So, I've got 10 questions for Hamish.
Cool.
I'm going to see how much he remembers
very
about
little
being on this show. So the first question is, who was the first ever voice heard on the show? Was it Helen Ward, Alex Greenwood, or Alex Scott?
Alex Scott.
Correct.
Yes.
It was Alex Scott.
One point.
Who introduced the show, yeah, the very first pilot show.
Good question.
All right. Number two, which player has appeared on the show the most number of times?
Jeez.
Is it Helen Ward, Megan Rapinoe, or Jess Fishlock?
Jess Fishlock.
Correct. I think Jess has been on 5 times, if you include her guest presenter role. So thank you very much, Jess, for giving us your time.
Thanks so much.
Mm. Number three, according to Laura Harvey, who won the Donkey of the Year award at Seattle Reign last year? Was it Christine Nairn, Christina Larsson, or Kate Dynas?
Christina Larsson.
Correct. It was, yes, Christina Larsson. Mia Hamm, number four. Mia Hamm said she had picked up one term in particular from England. What was it? Apples and pears, lovely jubbly, or dog and bone?
Lovely jubbly.
It was lovely jubbly. Oh, God, I'm very worried about the questions that are going to be coming back my way now. Number five. Jodie Taylor told you what the Swedish was for goodbye. What was it? Was it hey, hey, hey to, or hey door?
Hey to.
Wrong.
Oh!
It was hey door. Hey, hey was good, yeah, was hello. Oh, yeah. Hey to, I completely made up. And hey door. And hey door was goodbye.
Okay,
number six. In your last show, what three clubs did Kelly Smith pick as her top three for the WSL in no particular order? Did she pick Arsenal, Liverpool and Birmingham? Did she pick Arsenal, Chelsea and Birmingham? Or did she pick Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool?
Arsenal, Chelsea, Birmingham.
Wrong. She picked Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool. So you're off to a good start, mate. You're four out of six at the moment.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
Right, well, this is going to be more difficult because these are related to shows that you weren't on. Okay. So here you go. So number seven, who was the first guest presenter on a show after you left? Was it Ish Ferguson, Helen Ward or Gilly Flaherty?
Helen Ward.
Correct, it was Helen Ward. It was Helen Ward. Right, number eight. Only a few more left. Yale Averbuch presented alongside me for the 99ers special edition. What did a boy yell at the referee in a game that she played when she was a youngster? Did he yell, "Get her off me, ref. She keeps trying to pull my hair." "Get her off me, ref. I don't want to marry her." Or, "Get her off me, ref. She should be playing with girls."
She should be playing with girls.
Wrong. She shouted about marriage.
I should have gone with that, but I tried to use common sense and never use common sense in quizzes.
Number nine. Ellen White picked which defender at international level as the toughest she's faced?
I listened to this one.
Nilla Fisher, Wendy Renard or Christy Rampone?
Could be any one of those. Rampone.
She was Renard. It was I think she described it as, "I couldn't get the ball off her because she's just so big," which she is.
Yeah.
She is.
She's bigger than me.
Yeah. Final question.
Go on.
And you will have had to have listened to the Casey Stoney interview to get this one. Who did Casey Stoney say was the player most likely to say something inappropriate at the most inappropriate of times? Dan Carter, Jordan Nobbs, or Frieda Ayisi?
Dan Carter.
Wrong. It was Jordan Nobbs.
So what did I get?
So I reckon you have got 6 out of 10 there, I think. Okay. So you got all of the ones you missed out on the fifth one. So you got 4. You got 5. You got 5 out of 10, mate.
5 out of 10.
5 out of 10. All right. Well, so
one or 2 out of 10.
So I don't get multiple choice for mine, so I'm gonna be very worried here. So I'm gonna hand the mic back to you.
They're not the worst questions ever. Right. Question one. Who did I manage to grab soundbites from at the last Women's Football Awards?
You want all the people?
Yeah.
So you got Lowry Williams from Bristol Academy.
Yep.
You got Tash Dowie and Matt Beard.
Yep. That's the last one.
You got Beth Mead.
Correct. Well
is that,
done.
Is that all of them?
That's okay. All of them. Two. Which four players comprise our Champions League special?
Viola Odebrecht and Beck Smith from Wolfsburg and Lara Dickenman and Megan Rapinoe from Lyon.
You are flying. How many times has Andy Spence guest hosted?
Twice.
Oh, it's too easy. What was the name of our very first official show?
Oh. After the pilot would be the Bingo Bongo edition.
Correct. 4 for 4. This one will stump you. How did I know Helen Ward as a kid?
You went to school with her.
Possibly. Did I? Maybe. I'm going to say incorrect. We lived on the same street.
Okay, fair enough.
Who told me off for saying a come from behind 3-3 draw was a good result?
Oh. Come from behind for a 3-3 draw was a good result.
That is a good result, by the way, to the person who this is.
Oh, I haven't got a clue.
Ah, Viola Odebrecht.
Oh, yes, it is.
But, right, I'm going to slightly reword this question. We've interviewed Jodie Taylor twice on this show. At which clubs was she playing for?
She was playing for Gothenburg in Sweden, and she was playing for Sydney FC in the W League.
Correct. What was the name of Megan Rapinoe's first blog?
Oh, man. She came up with some really obscure names.
Yep.
The Brownie was the second one that she did. I can't remember.
I'm really going to have to rush you.
Can't remember.
Stream of Conscience.
That's the one.
When we recorded in a Liverpool cafe, what were you eating that subsequently became the name of that show?
I was eating a bowl of Scouts.
And question 10. We did audio boom updates during England v Wales at the Den, but who did we manage to grab for their thoughts?
Oh, we grabbed Grace McCatty.
We sure did. And with that, I think you have comfortably won this quiz. Congratulations. Your prize is carrying on doing more podcasts.
I look forward to it. Just not this one. But yes, no, it's been a pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
And it's been a pleasure doing about half of them with you.
You did more than half, to be fair. You did more than half. You're doing yourself a disservice. You did a year. So that's more than half. The show's been 18 months, so it's definitely longer than half.
There we go. But let's discuss the future. New show and a little bit of a tinker with the structure as well.
Yeah, I think doing this for 18 months, I think speaking to a lot of people, it's too long. Which it has been at times. It's been over an hour, and I think that is difficult to keep people's attention span for. Even myself, when I'm listening to other people's podcasts, you drift in and out. So the idea in the new one is to try and keep it a little bit shorter, but I think also to be more interesting to people, it's got to be more about the players. We obviously have interviewed a lot, but sometimes those interviews are only 5 or 6 minutes, and you know as well as I do how difficult it was to try and squeeze a 5 or 6 minute interview into the show, because sometimes we had 15, 20, sometimes 25 minutes of audio, and you're sort of having to cut out so much good stuff because you and I were talking so much either side of it. And why is that? You know, people don't want to hear us, really, do they, if we're honest?
Not really. I don't have much of a clue anyway. So.
You got by, mate. Okay, well, people don't want to hear me. And I, you know, I've had a few people say, oh, well, you know, it's nice that you kind of do your views in either side of the interviews. And I'll give my views on the Twitter feed. And I will occasionally give a view on the show, but it's got to be about the players. They're the ones that people are interested in. They're the people that have the interesting stories, and that's how it should be. And I'll use Casey Stoney's interview in the last one I recorded. You know, that was half an hour, but it was half an hour of brilliant insight, you know, a real role model, someone who's really passionate about the game, who loves playing. And imagine me having to try and cut half an hour of brilliant audio into 5-10 minutes. You know, it's not right, is it? It's not right on her. It's not right on her either. You know, I'm asking her to give her time, and at the end of it, you know, I'm cutting 2/3, sometimes 3/4 of the interview. It's pointless. So the new show will have a focus more on interviews. I will be looking possibly at 2 interviews per episode. It might only be 1, depending on the quality and the length of the interview. And then I'll be looking at short roundups from around the leagues, from people who are based in those countries. So I've got some people lined up, in people that others will have heard, listeners will have heard already. The likes of Sarah Gerke's agreed to continue doing an American roundup. Linda Eriksson will be doing Sweden. Brian Maguire will be doing Germany. The guys at Footdel will be doing France. And you know, I'm sure that I'll could recruit a few more, and it'll be short, sharp roundups from around the leagues to kind of go through the main talking points of what's been going on. And it'll be less of me talking and giving my view like we've been doing in this show. You know, it's about, as I said, it's about the players, and it should be. That's exactly how it should be.
Fantastic. Well, all there's left to say is thank you very much to everyone who's been listening to us for the past 18 months. Thank you also to the players and the staff who have given their time to allow us to shove microphones in their faces. And Kieran, I've got to say, a very, very, very well done for the last 18 months. I know this was your brainchild, and I just helped you along the way. So congratulations for 18 months of the Women's Football Podcast, and the very best of luck with the... Oh, no, I'm not going to give the name away.
The name will be revealed in good time. There's a few little tweaks that are still being done, logos and jingles and everything else. But yeah, the show is looking to launch in beginning to mid-October. I've already got the guests lined up for the New Look show, so I'm hoping that people will tune in and continue to support it. And obviously, we'll continue to do things like competitions. I've obviously got a Jess Fishlock whale shirt to give away, which I will attempt to give away on the first show. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it will be interesting for listeners, as people will know. I came very close to giving it all up, but it's very difficult to walk away from the world of women's football. There's some good people involved, and I look forward to meeting more of them.
Absolutely. Well, it wouldn't be right for me to sign off this one. All I'm going to say is it's been an absolute pleasure to be back behind the microphone with you, my friend.
Pleasure to have you back, mate. Thank you very much to all those that have listened to the pod over the last 18 months. And as I say, I hope that you continue to listen to the new one when we launch. Sorry that we haven't covered the likes of the German League and the French League. It's still very early on in this in the season. So definitely have roundups from those in the first episode of the new show. So do tune in, and I will speak to you all very soon.
The Women's Football Podcast, shining a light on the women's game.